Since the dawn of time, mankind has embarked on an endless quest for knowledge. Now, the time has come for players to put their intellect to the test in the ultimate mental arena where only the most cerebral among us will emerge victorious. This is Literal Genius.
Hey everyone, it's Literal Genius. We are back for week four here in the month of May. I'm your quizmaster, John Norton, and back with me yet again is Scott and Joni. And, Joni, we've really been on a bit of a journey these past few weeks, and I'm just wondering how you're feeling right now.
I feel a little bit like I'm doing all the heavy lifting and somebody else is taking all of my credit.
That's our friendship in a nutshell.
It kind of is. So life is very much imitating art right now. We'll see what happens this episode.
All right. Well, the good news is you're in the hot seat going into round one, our general knowledge round. I'm going to give you three categories that in one way or another tie into the mystery topic of the week. And you've got first choice you can pick from: TV turned film, animated offerings, and fast food nation.
Oh, let's do the TV turned film.
TV turned film. All right, round one, we got six questions, 1 point for a correct answer, 1 point for a steal. And to get things going, we're starting with question number one. Over to you, Joni. This mega popular Fox drama fought the future when it hit the big screen for the first time in 1998, in between its fifth and sixth seasons.
Can you repeat the question?
I certainly can. This mega-popular Fox drama fought the future when it hit the big screen for the first time in 1998, in between its fifth and sixth seasons.
I don't know.
All right. Scott, early chance to steal.
I think that's the X-Files.
I think you're right. That's 1 point to Scott.
Ooh,
one
nice.
Of my favorite shows of all time. All right, Scott, question number two. The cast of this MTV reality show reunited in 2002 for their first of several films that featured guest appearances by Tony Hawk, Spike Jones, and Rip Taylor.
That Jackass?
It certainly is. 2 points now to Scott. All right, Joni, question number three. Come back a little bit here. This 2005 film, helmed by Joss Whedon, was a continuation of his short-lived Fox series Firefly.
That would be Serendipity.
Again, so confident, but so wrong.
Oh, no, shoot!
Scott, you can steal this question.
Is it Serenity?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Stupid wrong word came out of my mouth.
Pretty sure, like, a minute ago, you talked about doing all this heavy lifting, then Scott just kind of swooping in there and getting the correct answer.
That's exactly what just happened.
Oh, okay.
Lord.
Well, Scott, you can extend your lead now with question number four. The success of this HBO series spawned a titular film in 2008 that garnered over $400 million worldwide, as well as a sequel a few years later.
The Sopranos.
The Sopranos is not correct. I'm sorry, Joni, you can steal.
Can you repeat it again? I'm sorry.
The success of this HBO series spawned a titular film in 2008 that garnered over $400 million worldwide, as well as a sequel a few years later.
That Sex and the City.
That certainly is Sex and the City. Joni on the board now with a point. 3-1. Joni, question number five. The boys from South Park hit the big screen in 1999 with a record 399 swear words and this suggestive subtitle.
I don't know.
I like that in your mind, you were like, I could try to guess this, and I'm not going to. I was like, anything that's going to come out, it's going to be a problem.
I don't know.
All right, Scott, do you know this one?
South Park, is it bigger, longer, and uncut?
That is correct, Scott. Very good. 4-1, and we're going to close it out with you, Scott. Number six, Sacha Baron Cohen rose to prominence in 2006 with the release of the film Borat, followed a few years later by Bruno. But the first of his films, based on characters from his HBO show, was this 2002 comedy.
Ooh. No idea. And I don't want to help Joni, I'm in the lead.
Well, Joni, you can help yourself here with a steal.
Gosh, I'm not up on my Sacha Baron Cohen films either. I don't know.
All right. The character he played was Ali G, and the film was Ali G in the House. Ali G.
Oh, I never would have pulled that one out.
In the House. Tables are turned a little bit here. Scott with a nice lead over Joni, 4-1. And Scott, we turn to you now. Do you want to tackle Animated Offerings or Fast Food Nation?
Fast Food Nation. Because I think that Joni and I will be pretty even on animation, but I think I've got this one.
All yeah, right. You definitely do.
All right, Scott, question number one, Fast Food Nation. Businessman Dave Thomas opened the first restaurant of this franchise in 1969, named after a nickname for his then 8-year-old daughter, Melinda Lou.
Wendy's.
Of course. Melinda Lou with a nickname of Wendy. How about that? Joni, question number two, sharing a surname with the franchise he would go on to create. The founder of this chain opened his first restaurant after seeing consistent long lines at a Mexican cafe that was across the street from his hot dog stand.
Do you want the name of the franchise?
Mm-hmm.
Was that Taco John's?
It was not Taco John's, I'm sorry. Scott, chance of steal.
Is it Nathan's? The hot dog stand?
I appreciate the logic, but no, it was Taco Bell. And the gentleman's last name is Bell. Glenn Bell founded Taco Bell.
Huh.
There we go. All right, Scott, back to you. Question number three. The first of this burger chain was founded in 1953 in Jacksonville, Florida, and originally contained the prefix Insta before its name.
Burger King?
Originally called Insta Burger King. There we go. Scott, 6 to Joni's 1. Joni, come back a little bit here. Question number 4. The titular men in the name of this burger and fries chain that opened up in Virginia are actually Jerry Murrell and his 4 sons, Jim, Matt, Chad, and Ben.
Five Guys.
Those are the 5 Guys. That's correct. All right, Scott, over to you. Question number 5. This documentarian rose to fame with the release of his 2004 film, Supersize Me, which tracked the journey of only eating McDonald's for 30 days straight.
I can tell you, as soon as you started documentary, and I could have told you Supersize Me and McDonald's, and I even know there's a rebuttal to it, but I don't know his name.
All right, do you know his name, Joni?
I'm pretty sure it's... Is it Spurlock?
I'll take a last name. Morgan Spurlock, that's correct. Although I can't help but wonder if the rebuttal to it was the idea of you can order the documentary that followed the guy ordering McDonald's reasonably, or if Scott's referring to the Doug Benson film Super High Me. But you know what? You don't have to answer. You don't have to answer. That's fine. Draw our own conclusions.
Could be either one.
All right, Joni, question number 6. You can finish off strong here. Michael Keaton portrayed Ray Kroc, the man credited with franchising McDonald's in the 1950s, in this 2016 biopic directed by John Lee Hancock.
It was called, I had a multiple choice on this one. I would know it right away. It was The Founder.
She pulled it out. It was The Founder. Oh. Very good. So at the end of round 1, we have a nice game going. Scott with 6, Joni with 4. This is where I like to check in a little bit with the players and go, do you have any idea what we're about to hear next?
Fast food, animated.
Let's find out. Here's the mystery topic of the week.
You have 7 days to make your payment.
7?
It's gonna be okay, Bob. Happy, hopeful, kissy lips.
Mr. Police, I'd like to report a thing happened.
What do we do? Ideas, go.
Oh, what's this thing?
No.
I'm so nervous.
I know.
Can you believe it?
Ta-da! Uh-oh. Oh, no.
This is getting awkward.
Son of a butt!
That feels nice.
I know.
They're a cute couple.
I give them a year.
After 12 seasons, the Belcher family is finally stepping out of the family restaurant and getting some big screen treatment with the Bob's Burgers movie. So let's fire up the grill and serve up some trivia with Bob, Linda, Tina, Gene, and Louise. I'm pretty sure Scott was throwing up gang signs while that trailer was being played. Not sure.
Yeah,
what that
the
was
3-1, that's where we're going with this at the end of this week.
All right, it is round two, which means questions get a little bit harder. We got 8 questions on the world of Bob's Burgers. Your modifiers have been reactivated, the -1, the -2, the +3. Don't forget about them. Use them to your advantage. And, Joni, we're starting with you with question number 1. Despite it never being said on the show, the town Seymour's Bay, where Bob's Burgers is primarily set, is in this eastern U.S. state, nicknamed the Garden State.
The Garden State is New Jersey.
The Garden State is New Jersey. That's 2 points for Joni. Very good. Tying it up now, 6-all. Question number 2, over to Scott. Jimmy Pesto's 2 boys, Andy and Ollie, are actually voiced by real-life sisters. One of them, this famous comedian and former longtime flame of Jimmy Kimmel.
I want to say Sarah Silverman, but it's not. But that's my best guess.
Well, that one just got you 2 points. Sarah Silverman's correct.
Hey!
Scott up 8-6. Taking advantage of these 2-point questions, very nice. Over back to you, Joni. Question number 3. Bob's daughters, Tina and Louise, are appropriately named for actress Tina Louise, who played the character of Ginger Grant on what classic television sitcom?
That's Gilligan's Island.
Maybe this isn't such a bad category for you guys. 2 points back to Joni, tying up again, 8 points each. And we're going over back to Scott for question number 4. H. John Benjamin, the voice of Bob Belcher, was hired to be a spokesman of this surprisingly non-burger-based fast food chain that specializes in its, quote, market-fresh sandwiches.
Arby's.
Arby's is correct. 2 more points back to Scott. Keeping it competitive, now up 10 points to 8. And we go back to Joni. Question number 5. The boy band featured on Bob's Burgers, Boys For Now, is thought to be an amalgamation of several 90s groups, including the Backstreet Boys, NSYNC, and this 4-man group that featured Nick and Drew Lachey.
Is that 98 degrees?
And rising. Very good. 2 more points.
Yeah.
That's kind of in the Titanic soundtrack realm. So that kind of works for you.
That's our era.
Every question correct, not a single modifier played so far. I am very impressed. Moving in to question number 6 for Scott. Scott, Kristen Schaal, who voices Louise, has had quite a varied comedy career, appearing in everything from 30 Rock, The Last Man on Earth, and doing additional voice roles in BoJack Horseman, as well as this short-lived Disney Channel animated mystery series.
Gravity Falls.
And that's 2 more points for Scott. Score is 12-10. Joni, the Belcher kids all attend Wagstaff Middle School. Named as a reference to Professor Quincy Adams Wagstaff, the character played by Groucho Marx in what classic Marx Brothers film?
I'm going to swap that one out.
Thought we might have to. Any guesses? Want to throw it out? A Marx Brothers fan?
I haven't seen a lot of Marx Brothers films. No, it's one of my greatest flaws.
All right, that was Horse Feathers, for the record.
Oh.
Horse Feathers. All right, no problem swapping that out. Here's your alternate question. To date, 7 of the 11 members of this comedy troupe with a titular MTV show in the 1990s have appeared in various roles on Bob's Burgers, including Thomas Lennon, Kerry Kinney, and Ken Marino.
Can you give me multiple choice?
I certainly can. Your options are The Kids in the Hall, The State, The Groundlings.
Trying to remember if the Groundlings actually had a TV show. I wasn't allowed to watch MTV as a kid. I led a sheltered life. I can't monologue before because that ruins me. It did last time. Let's go with the Groundlings. I know they're comedy. I don't know if they have a TV show, though.
They do not, unfortunately.
So is it Kids in the Hall?
Well, Scott can still steal it for a point, so let's see what he says.
Was it Kids in the Hall?
It was The State, so doesn't really matter.
No idea. I just let you do the heavy lifting all the time, even when it's wrong.
All right, Scott, your final question for this category. Among his many other television outings, in 2011, H. John Benjamin starred in the news magazine parody show John Benjamin Has a Van, which is notable for many things, including being the first television appearance in the U.S. of this comedian, who would later create and star in the sensational Nathan For You on Comedy Central.
Multiple choice.
Your options are Nathan Cook, Nathan Fielder, Nathan Walsh.
Can I use my double guess on this as well?
Yes, you can. Good time to do it.
I think it's Nathan Cook.
I think it is not. You have one guess remaining.
Fielder?
Nathan Fielder is correct. Used all the modifiers, but it was worth it.
Yeah.
All right, so at the end of round two, Scott, you have a lead of 14 points to Joni's 10 as we move in to the face-off. And your category, the top-selling fast food chains in America. So players, I am looking for any of the 20 top fast food chains in America based on U.S. sales as reported in 2018 by QSR Magazine. To give you some additional help, I'll tell you that QSR considers fast food to fall into six different categories: burger, snack, pizza, sandwich, chicken, and global, which is essentially any food whose origins are from non-English-speaking countries. So I'd encourage you to consider locations we might not always instinctively think of as fast food, but they certainly are. Also, when a correct answer is given, I'll inform everyone of what rank on the list that answer was. It might help with strategy a little bit. So we're looking for the top 20 fast food chains by national sales in America. Joni, starting off with you.
McDonald's.
Unsurprisingly, coming in at number one with an estimated 38.5 million in sales. Actually, a little bit lower than I thought. Scott,
Subway.
Who are you? Subway is correct, coming in at number three on the list with a little over 10 million in sales.
Burger King.
Down the list at number seven, just under 10 million Burger King.
Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Now just going by the acronym, but yes, KFC number 14 on that list.
Pizza Hut.
Pizza Hut is correct, number 11.
Chick-fil-A.
Chick-fil-A at a powerful number five, moving up the ranks.
Taco Bell.
Yeah, early show information helps it a little bit on this category. Taco Bell in
sure.
Number four.
Popeyes.
Popeyes just making it at number 20 on the list, keeping Scott in this thing.
Little Caesars?
Little Caesars is correct at number 16. Joni's still down by three. Scott, back to you.
Going back to Arby's.
Gotta love those sandwiches at number 15.
Wendy's?
Yeah, there we finally got back to them at number six on the list. Now it gets a little fun.
Jack in the Box?
Jack in the Box is correct, number 18 on the list.
Panda Express.
Filling out the bottom at number 19.
Jersey Mike's.
I'm sorry, Jersey Mike's did not make the top 20. It was on the list, but, you know, much more further down. That's a little bit more regional.
Yep.
So, Joni, here's the situation. You are currently down by 3 points. If you can give me three correct guesses, which there are still three on this list, then we can tie it up and we're forced to go to a tiebreaker. If you can give me four correct answers, you will have overtaken the lead and you force Scott to deal with the hardest question in the world.
I'm going to guess In-N-Out.
In-N-Out, very popular. But a little too regional. In-N-Out, incorrect, unfortunately. Very good face-off, guys. I'm impressed with both of you. Definitely in the category of things to think of as fast food, even though we don't normally. Number two on the list, Starbucks.
Oh, yeah.
Starbucks, technically fast food by their definition.
Yeah.
We also have Dunkin', Nuck Dunkin' Donuts, mm-hmm. Now just called Dunkin' on there. We have Domino's, We have Panera Bread, we had Dairy Queen. Still haven't been mentioned. They have more than just ice cream on there.
Yeah, I eat at Starbucks many times a week, so I should have thought of that.
All right, excellent face-off. Nothing to be ashamed of. But Joni, this time you have to face the music. It's time for the hardest question in the world. Now, Scott, you've been here before, so you know how this goes, except this time you are in control. I'm going to read you the question. You can decide who has to deal with it. If you want to tackle it yourself, put your fate in your own hands, you get a modifier to help you do it. If not, it's all on Joni to see if she can pull a win out of it or see if your lead, I'm going to say lead for the first time, stands. It's a big moment for you. Here's the question.
I need to own it.
Players, every city, at least in America, seems to have its own unique burger to attract attention to its home restaurant and bring in tourists. However, in 2014, Kuma's Corner, a heavy metal-themed bar in Chicago, found itself in a public relations firestorm with the release of its Ghost Burger, named after a Swedish metal band. This burger attracted a great deal of negative publicity from religious groups, especially Catholics, because of what unique topping that it contained. So, Scott, what are your thoughts here?
I feel like I could answer this with a multiple choice, but I really just want to see Joni take a crack at it. So I'm going to kick it to Joni.
All right, Joni, you know what you have to do here. We need a correct answer. You can steal a win here, tie up the month. If you get this wrong, Scott goes up 3-1.
So it's a topping on the burger.
It is a topping on the burger. Attracted a great deal of negative publicity from religious groups, especially Catholics.
Gosh, I don't eat a lot of burgers. My first thought is communion wafers, but that seems kind of odd. Was there an alcoholic element to it? You can't probably answer that. Let's say communion wafers. Why not?
Yep.
I like that your initial logic was this question's hard because I don't think I've had this exact burger. Like, I don't eat a lot of burgers
in general.
Didn't eat this. I don't know. You didn't need to, because the correct answer is an unconsecrated communion wafer. Joni, you've won the episode.
Yeah.
Scott, you seem to feel like you maybe have heard that too.
Yeah, no, I actually just wrote it on my phone and tossed it to my wife, and I was like, it's a communion wafer. So, yep.
Joni, congratulations. You have not only taken the win from Scott, but you have tied up the month of May. And we are going to break the tie in our special patrons-only episode. That's right, the final episode of the month. You only hear it if you are a Patreon patron. But for now, I will just say, Joni, you are a literal genius, at least when it comes to burgers.
I feel like I finally won it fair and square.
Check out more of the show, literalgeniuspodcast.com. You can email us, literalgeniuspodcast@gmail.com. And even more so than ever before, check out patreon.com/literalgeniuspodcast. Sign up, be a patron, and find out how this month ends. This all comes down to we are tied 2-2. It's all about bragging rights. It comes down to our final topic. What is it going to be? Everyone's scared. I'm scared. I'm hosting the show. I wrote the questions. I don't know what's going to happen, but I do know that we're going to find out next time on Literal Genius.